the Oz Indie Show. And on the blower, I have Stephen from Avalanche, who are from Western Sydney, and a four-piece sort of hard rock, pub rock band. And you guys have quite a backstory that we will get to with your group, especially the name and the sort of music you're playing. But I thought I'd first start, Steve, with you tell us a bit of your backstory. How did you get to where you are now?
Yeah, sure. So first of all, hey, how you doing? Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it. So yeah, I've personally been playing music since I was about 11, 12 years old. My dad was a musician from back in the day. So I've always grown up with music in the house. And I guess it's sort of the same with everyone in the band. We all sort of grew up with, in an Australian typical household with the pub rock going in the just about every room that you grew up in. we all really, really sort of melded with that music. And for me personally, going through high school and playing in bands all through high school, and then in high school and learning doing a diploma of music, at TAFE, I really just sort of focused and pushed my way into being a musician. Like, there's never been a lot of money in it for me personally, but it's just always something I've wanted to do. It's always something I've always strived to do, and I'm really passionate about, you know.
Yeah, now you're also in the band with your wife, Veronica.
Yes.
how do you find that? Does that sort of stress the relationship a bit, or is it?
Well, I mean, you know, it's just one of those things. Like, I think personally when I was growing up, I always sort of thought, if I could find someone, a girl, that could play guitar better than I could, I was going to marry him. And it just so happened that one day I happened to find it.
So you're saying the list there was very short?
Well, I thought so, but I mean, I tell you what, she can do some things on the guitar that I've never been able to do.
So what's her backstory to get into playing lead guitar in a pub rock band? That
absolutely
sounds a bit of an interesting journey.
She loves her blues music. She's a really big fan of like Muddy Waters, B.B. King, all those really great blues players. But when she was in high school, she went and saw AC/DC play. I think it was the Rock or Bust tour, and she said, after that, you know, seeing Angus on stage and playing the solos and doing all the things that he did, you know, that was really just what pushed her to sort of want to be a lead guitarist and actually, you know, give it a red hot crack.
Yeah.
If that's the pretty much the milieu story of just about anyone that watches Angus play, especially when they're that young. But yeah, she managed to find a Ryan through, she was going to an all girls school, and one of her best friends, was sisters with Ryan, and he was learning drums and playing all of AC/DC songs on the drums, and so they got together and just played AC/DC covers together for a couple of years, and tried to form a band, and slowly found me, and slowly found Arthur, and we just carried on from there.
So does Veronica sort of light up the stage with antics as well?
She definitely tries to, but I think she gets in her own head because she doesn't want to be too much of like a rip-off, you know. She does want to do her own thing, but yeah, there's always that sort of, it's a funny thing, because I think it was probably the same with Angus, how off stage they're very shy. Like, she's a very shy, introverted person. She doesn't really like going out to parties and, like, you know, doing the whole social butterfly thing, but then when she's on stage, it doesn't really come through that much, you know. It's like a brand new person. Like, when we got married, she was freaking out when we were getting married, and like was like, I don't really want to go. I'm scared to go out there. I said, what do you mean? You go out to play to like 100, 200 people all the time. It's fine. But yeah, I think it's just that sort of thing. Like, maybe when you get on stage, it just sort of becomes that sort of rock star, or become that person that you always sort of see in your head.
And what about the fourth member of your band, Arthur Davis?
So he was the late arrival to the band. I think it took us a while to find a rhythm guitarist, just to find a personality and someone that was really going to fit with us. And he's the oldest of the band too. So I think he's probably 5-6 years older than us. But it's interesting, and we call him the dad of the band. But yeah, once we found him, his personality, everything just really fit with us, and like we never really would have wanted him to leave, just for the simple fact that we're all such good friends from the beginning.
Yeah.
And like and after that, like, yeah, we've never really looked back after that. Like, he became a father last year, like an actual father last year.
Mm.
And you know, obviously that could bring in a bit of tension with things, you know, if you're going overseas, you're going around the country, you know, you've got a newborn. But we worked it out, and, you know, he was more than happy to keep going and pushing through. And he's just such a trooper, you know, especially when it comes to this kind of music, and he loves it just as much as us. And it really shows, yeah.
And is this band sort of the main big thing that they've come to, or have they gone through other bands in the past?
Yeah, actually, surprisingly, so I'm pretty sure this is probably the first band for, like, first, like, proper full-on band for all Ryan, Veronica, and Arthur, except for me.
Yeah. Okay, Steve seems to have frozen, so we'll try to reconnect there, but a bit of the back history of Avalanche, if you're old like me, then you might recognise the name from back in the 70s. There was an Oz band called Avalanche, and you've got an actual direct link to that. It's not just, oh, we'll rip off the name. There's legitimate reason why this your band is called Avalanche. Do you want to get the listeners in on that?
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, like I said, my dad was a musician back in the day, back in the 70s, you know, trying to do the pub rock thing, just the same as us. And yeah, he formed a band in Melbourne called Avalanche, and they had, they were with Michael Browning as a manager. I believe he was managing AC/DC at the same time. So they did a few like opening shows for them, and released their self-titled album in 1976, which one of the singles was Sweet Baby Brown Eyes. And, you know, they did some pretty cool things. They were on Countdown at one point. It was some pretty cool bands, Skyhooks, Jimmy Barnes. I know my dad did a really big tour with, I think it was David Essex, at one point, further down the track, and played to, like, in front of some pretty big crowds and did some pretty cool things. And, yeah, when we were putting this band together, obviously my dad taught me how to sing, you know, and like it's been a big thing in my life, and we didn't really have a name, nothing was really sticking, and I just sort of thought, you know, why don't we do Avalanche, because, you know, they only really did like that one album and then sort of went their separate ways, and I always thought, you know, what could have happened if they had perhaps stuck with it, and yeah, everyone sort of agreed that it was a good name, and I did make sure to message the other old original members and make sure they were okay with it.
So have you tried to reproduce that as a direct copy, or have you put your own flavour into the track?
Yeah, so this new single, it's definitely not a straight recreation. Like, I actually had a conversation with Dad about this when we first decided to do it, and I was saying, you know, how do you think we should do it? You know, I personally, at the time, I wanted to just do the recreation sort of thing, just so you could have a good comparison between me and him. But even he was saying, like, no, you got to change it, you know, you got to make it your own. I think if you really listen to their band compared to ours, there is a clear difference in sort of like we're a bit heavier, you know, we lean more towards hard rock, and they were sort of more classic rock. So I think, we definitely had to make it a bit more high energy, a bit more us, you know.
Yeah.
And so we didn't change a lot. We did try to make it very much a sort of nod to the past original one. But, yeah, there is a few slight changes that we've made.
Mm. Yeah, now, they, as you said, put out one album. They ran for only a couple of years as a band back in the mid-70s, whereas you've sort of passed that already. So
yeah, we're starting to come up to that age.
How do you feel about that?
It's funny when you think about it like that, because you don't really think about it that, like, in that sort of term, you know, just day to day. But I guess when you think about it, is what, four years since we started now?
Mm-hmm.
So we are coming up on 5 years, which is such a crazy thought. Still feels like yesterday we were just playing in the garage.
Yeah.
And probably making the neighbors really upset. But but yeah, I mean, we've always seen a constant progression with it, which I feel has definitely helped push us to want to keep doing it. You know, I think the first year that we were playing, Ryan, the drummer, was underage. I think it was about 16 or 17 when we first started. So we couldn't actually play at, like, 18-plus pubs or events like that. And we had to sort of make do with just open mic events at, like, the RSL, local RSL or whatever, and we would be playing to like 10, 15 drunk people at the end of the night, you know. It's a pretty big difference. I think the biggest show we played at the moment last year was we opened up for Buck Cherry when they came over,
mm-hmm.
and Fozzy, and that was in December, and they ended up selling out the place for like 1,000 people. So it's a pretty big difference in 4 years, you know.
Yeah, excellent. Now, one thing I do ask different artists who come on, because you're at the stage where your new track is getting some pretty good acclaim and lots of airplay, especially on community radio, but you've also, as you said to me earlier in a private chat, that Triple M have looked at you, and so at the moment you're sort of sitting pretty sweet. But where do you have a sort of like a long-term plan? In 5 years, where would Avalanche be?
Pun intended, I guess. Definitely. So originally, when we first started, our first goal, I guess the goal of the band, was to play a festival slot.
Yeah.
Which I guess is most sort of starting bands, like, oh, let's play a festival. And luckily enough, we did happen to play, I think, three festivals last year, one of which was in Noumea in New Caledonia.
Yeah.
So we finally knocked that off the list last year and sort of came together and did have a proper think about what we want to do. And I think the next stage for us is to really focus on maybe going overseas and probably establishing ourselves in some other countries as well as Australia. So we feel we've done pretty well in Australia so far. And obviously there's still heaps more to do here. But yeah, I think the next few steps would be, you know, releasing some more music and slowly but surely making our way overseas. We've managed to get some pretty good radio play in the UK for this release as well. Some pretty big stations in the UK. I think our last song was in Kerrang in the UK, so that would be looking pretty good as an opportunity.
Yeah.
We would love to just start spreading our wings out and start going to some other places. I think that would probably be the next step, because at the end of the day, we're a touring band and we just want to play music, you know.
Yeah. Now, apart from people actually finding a gig that you're playing, how could they get your music?
Yeah, so we've got all of the socials. So you've got Facebook, Instagram. We just recently got TikTok to keep up with the Joneses, I guess. But the handle is Avalanche Band Rock for everything. So even Spotify, all that sort of stuff. We've also got a website, which is www.avalanchebandrock.com. So you can buy tickets, find our music, buy merch, all that sort of stuff, straight from the website. That's probably the best place to find all the stuff.
Excellent. And you got some gigs happening at the moment?
So we're about to go on tour in March, starting on the 3rd in Sydney. We're playing the Vanguard in Sydney. We're going through to Melbourne, playing in Cherry Bar on the 17th. And then we've got Adelaide after that.
Yep.
We've got a few more sort of rural dates in New South Wales, sort of playing like Katoomba, Orange, Wollongong, and we just recently announced that we have a festival slot for early June in Brisbane at the Moondog Festival in the Mansfield Tavern.
Well, coming to Melbourne with the Cherry Bar, that's a really top venue. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, Katoomba is well known for its three rock sisters, so your music will be fine there.
Cherry Bar's awesome. We've done a 1 a.m. slot there before, and I tell you what, we've never played a show at 1 a.m. before. You go down, you know, you're not really expecting much because it's 1 a.m. Like, who the hell is going to expect a lot of people at 1 a.m.? But it was jam packed at Yeah, and it was such a crazy gig, and we've never been more tired, but but it was awesome. It was such a good place, and the owner, James, he's really, really nice and really, really friendly.
Excellent stuff. Well, thank you very much, Steve, and say hello to the other members for me.
Yeah, will do. Thanks so much for having me.
And, we'll keep an eye on your music.
Thanks, for sure.
I mean, this one we're about to play is a cover of the original Avalanche Band, but most of the rest of your stuff are originals, aren't they?
Yes, This is the first cover that we've ever released,
Excellent. All right, that was Steve from Avalanche, and you can check him out, Avalanche Band Rock, is that right? .com and on the socials. So this is their reprise of the original Avalanche Band track, Sweet Baby Brown Eyes. And for those who are old like me, you probably remember.